If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Nonstop Baseball Podcast. Here we are with episode 81, and there is no other way to put it. The vibes are high, even though we have a Yankee hacker taking down Brian's internet. It's not going to stop us. We're powering right through this. Brian, how's it going?
Vibes are high. They're great. Little low vibe moment for a second. The United States national soccer team, they played a great tournament in the World Cup. But they were eliminated this morning by the Dutch. You know, it happens.
There's no other way to put it, Brian. That's tragic.
There's no other way to put it. It's exactly what we all expected.
No, we did not all expect this.
Brian,
honestly, they played a great tournament.
No, they really excited. They really did. They were better than expected. They were really solid. But let's be real. Come on.
Some questionable lineup check.
Yeah,
I agree.
But yeah, Adam, how are you doing?
Interesting tactics.
Yeah. Moving to better sport, baseball. I'm feeling great. The news this week. No one's riding it higher than I am.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's an electric news week. I know. We are kind of like, we did take a week off, but we're like, man, it might be quite a few, you know, every other weeks in a row. But now it's like the stove is cooking and we might be out here for a while talking about free agents because, you know, there's no other way to put it. There's just been a lot of signings recently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the first major name off the table, too.
Franchi Cordero, the Orioles.
Oh my god,
tragic,
dude. Honestly, so before that major one you were talking about, there was a pretty major one.
Oh yeah,
are we just gonna get right into it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, let's just get right into it. The first, I would say, big deal was Jose Abreu to the Astros.
Yeah,
no doubt.
At least in my mind, man, Jose Abreu going to the Astros gives them an unreal righty bat to add. With all their other unreal bats, and the best team in baseball got better.
So I mean, that's pretty much.
Pretty much. I mean, just ridiculous. 3 years, $58.5 million, $19.5 a year. He's 36. Just been really productive over the last few years. And as you're going into Minute Maid with that Crawford boxes, even though Abreu tends to be a more spray the ball everywhere type of hitter, you got to feel like though those home run numbers dipped a little bit last year, there's power, doubles, and on base and everything, that those home run numbers might go up again with those Crawford boxes in left field for Jose.
Yeah, I just, the Astros, I'm glad they're in the American League and the Giants don't have to play them as much.
Well, I mean, isn't it this upcoming season that everybody gets to play everybody?
Yes, that's why I said as much. We only have to see them for like a series a year, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you were still somehow an Oakland A's fan with this signing, is that just you officially give up?
Dude, the A's have no shot the next 3 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were saying that at the end of this offseason where it was like, yeah, the A's, this is not a rebuild that's like, all right, cool, they're good to go in 2024. Nah, it's going to be a little bit.
They literally will not finish first or second for the next 3 years, and like I would bet money on that.
Yeah,
you should. Yeah,
I would too.
And that's wild, dude. Just think about it though. Like, you have the Astros, they're going nowhere, right? You have the Rangers, who are investing an insane amount of money into their team. We'll get into that in a little bit. You have the Angels, who have arguably the two best players in baseball on their team. And then you have the Mariners, who are just young, exciting, and they continue to build on to what they had. Like, I'm looking at those four teams and I'm the A's. I'm just like, man.
Why bother?
I mean, deflating. You know, and could have been a time for the teams in the AL West, like we're talking about with the A's, to hang their heads, but it's not quite what happened, huh?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
What happened?
What happened in the AL West? Well, we I know Brian alluded to it. Team called the Texas Rangers, investing some money.
The Texas money bags.
Kinda out of nowhere. I don't know if this was really on any of our radars. I mean, maybe it's like a pipe dream for me. A little pitcher, right-hander. I don't know if you guys heard Jacob DeGrom.
Yes. He's pretty good.
He's decent,
average.
He's all right. Well, he just signed for 5 years for $185 million to the Texas Rangers. Unreal.
There's also an option that makes it like 222 at max.
Yeah, it's like a $40 million option or something. But yeah, so 5 years, full no trade. Texas Rangers have Jacob DeGrom. What a world.
So including that option, over the last two off seasons, they have invested right around $700 million on three players. How do we feel about that?
Oh, it's unhinged, and I love it. I have never really been... So Jays have been my number one team for a long time, and my number two team has sort of floated around to other ones. And obviously this last year, I kind of like... I was kind of in the Rangers corner, whether as a meme or otherwise.
Simeon took you there.
Yeah, Simeon took me there, but it was also just the utter like ballsiness of dropping a $500 million in one offseason on two players. It's just absurd. Like, but man, the Rangers are so my number two team right now. I'm so excited for this. Is such a it's such an obnoxious strategy. Like, dude, I love it.
So I want you guys to think about this potential Rangers starting rotation, and it might not be this year, but the following year it likely is to be their starting rotation. Your ace, Jacob DeGrom, right? Number two,
your Martin second Perez. Ace. Yeah, your second ace.
Yeah, Martin Perez, who had a great season, right?
Yep.
Number three, you have John Gray, who they gave a good amount of money to last year. He's a pretty solid pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, you have Jack Leiter.
Yeah.
Number five, you have Kamar Rocker. Think about that.
Yeah, dude, I mean,
Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker have significant potential to be like really good pitchers. I mean, there's a reason they were both drafted in the first round. They both dominated in college. I mean, they think Jack Leiter might even start pitching this year.
I would not be surprised to see it.
Yeah, all of a sudden that Rangers starting rotation's kind of looking nasty. I mean, if I'm the Rangers, I'm looking at our bullpen now and being like, okay, where do we need to improve there? Maybe get Joey Gallo back.
Dude, I would love that. I'd love it so much. Talking about the prospect pitchers. I mean, you're talking about not even a year ago, 2 years ago, like pitching was the Rangers' absolute like worst spot. It was terrible. Their starting rotation was awful. I mean, when you're giving Folty a spot, that's not good. Folty's like your eighth dude on most rotations. He was like their third. I mean, Jack Leiter coming up I totally see it happening this year, this season. I could absolutely see him having a part in the starting rotation. Could still be Dane Dunning in there as well. I mean, I could totally see Leiter as like the fourth or fifth guy.
But Dane Dunning will definitely be around this season. Starting rotation I gave you definitely wouldn't be for like 2 years.
Probably. No. Yeah. Not all of that rotation, but yeah. You know, I could see Leiter coming in this year and Dunning still being there and some of that. But man, it is crazy how quickly that pitching staff has turned around. At least the starting pitching staff has turned around.
We definitely still need some bullpen help out in Texas.
Yes.
But
no, you don't need don't need bullpen help if your starters go 9 innings every day.
Well, this is true, except this is the big... Okay, so we've said all the positives of Jacob DeGrom. Now I guess we have to get into the worst case scenario, right? And
yep.
This is why Actually, Noah, you want to give us your opinion on the signing? Because I feel like yours is the
okay. Well, let me start off with some positives.
Okay, let's finish out the positives.
Last time Jacob deGrom had a whip that was over. Yeah, last time Jacob deGrom had a whip, but a whip of one or higher was 2017. That's just insane. Absolutely ridiculous limiting of walks and hits per innings pitched. From 2018 to 2022, you're looking at a 091, 097, 096, 055, and then 075 this most recent year. Absolutely ridiculous. Also, last time he pitched a normal amount of innings for a pitcher was 2020, and it was 68 innings because of it was a shortened season, of course. Over 21 and 22, 21 in 21, he pitched 92 innings, 22, 64 and a third innings pitched. He is also 35 years old, and you just gave that guy a five-year deal with a 6-year option at $37 million a year. If I was a team, I would be really hesitant to go after DeGrom. If I was like the Dodgers or the Mets, I would definitely be aggressive going for a short-term, ridiculous-type money deal just because of that upside. But like even 3 years was scary for me with DeGrom. As much as I absolutely love watching DeGrom, Mets have always been kind of one of my second favorite teams. Obviously, when he pitches, he's one of the best on the planet, but it's like it's been, you know, taking him 2 seasons to get, you know, not even close to, you know, a Sandy, but Sandy's obviously an outlier. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, when you think about that, it's just like 150 something innings pitched over 2 seasons most recently, and the guy's been throwing 103 miles an hour. I mean, could he pitch with less than that? Yeah. But where will he be? I don't know. It worries me. I'm excited to see him in Texas. Hope he does great. Love being wrong, especially about this kind of thing. But I would be very hesitant as a GM going after DeGrom. I'd like to seek other pitchers.
I guess, so being a Giants fan, somewhere I would look at is like Carlos Rodon last year. The Giants acquired him on a 1-year deal, right? Because he had a lot of the injury issues. People were scared to give him like a multi-year contract, and of course he played a full healthy year, and now he's looking at a multi-year contract. So I'm not completely surprised Jacob deGrom didn't go that route. Obviously, Jacob deGrom and Carlos Rodon coming into their contract years, different stages in their career, right? DeGrom just has more dominance. It is what it is. It'll be interesting if the Rangers try making changes to try keeping him on the field. Do they try dropping his velo like a couple miles per hour, maybe have him not throw as hard? I don't know if that'll be the route they go. There's a lot of things they could do, and maybe he's just outliers of him getting hurt, and it just happened to keep happening, and now he can stay healthy and put it together. There's a lot of ways it can go. I wanted to ask you guys, over under of 110 innings for Jacob deGrom this next
over
time.
Over.
So
you said very confident, Adam. What is the range you're looking at?
I don't see him. It's been 3 years since he's pitched a full season, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was pitching complete seasons, I mean, he had 3 consecutive years over 200 innings. The dude is
when I was in high school.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Dude's a workhorse when he's active, and not hurt. I would not be. It's funny. I would equally not be surprised to see him only pitch like 80 innings because of injury. I would also not be surprised to see him pitch like 180 innings because if he's not hurt, he is so dominant and is already so much of a workhorse pitcher, or at least has proven that he was a workhorse pitcher that. He goes out and gives 7 innings every time.
So I think what's interesting, and part of the reason I said 110 specifically, is that we don't Like, I think there's no way the Rangers let him pitch 180 innings, even if he's healthy. Like, I just don't think they will let him do that now that they've given him a 5-year deal. Like, I think we will see Jacob DeGrom leave a lot of games in the fifth, sixth inning.
Nah, you do it when you're in a playoff hunt. That's how you got to win games.
But the thing is, in the playoff hunt, yes, for the last month of the season, maybe. But I do not think they will let Jacob DeGrom go past that fifth.
See,
he's going to be a consistent two-time through the lineup guy.
Sure. And
wherever that comes up is where it comes up.
But this is where I want to sort of say, like, I think it is a misnomer to believe that the playoff hunt starts that late in the season. The Rangers don't do things like this thinking that, oh, well, if come the last 50 games of the season and we're close, then we'll really start trying. No, they're coming out the gate. Every single game is a playoff hunt game. DeGrom maybe two times through the lineup and you're leading a game 8-0, then yeah, sure, he probably gets pulled. But you're going to take every single healthy DeGrom game that you can get, and you're going to absolutely pile those wins as much as you can. I don't think that the Rangers like load manage DeGrom early in the season. Why would they? No, you need to win those games because your division has the Astros.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I have a very different thought process on that. Like, I think they'll have to load manage him because they've made a significant investment now. You need him on the field. And if you push him and he gets hurt, people are going to look at you and be like, well, what'd you expect, right?
Sure.
So, and he's way more valuable to you in the playoffs than at any other point in time.
Sure.
If you push him throughout the season and then he's not able to give you those key moments in the playoffs because you pushed him throughout the season, then it's kind of like, well, why are we spending so much money? So, yeah, maybe every now and then, yes, they will push him in a very close game, keep him against the, like, when they're playing the Astros, yeah, he probably will be more than just a two times through the lineup when they're playing the important games. But I don't think I think for the most part, it'll be a 5-6 inning thing.
Sure.
Where do you sit on this, Noah?
Well, I think I disagree a little bit with both of you, but probably disagree with Adam more. Jacob DeGrom for the Rangers is a huge 5-year investment, and they want to make sure they get the most out of that 5-year investment. So I do think there's going to be a lot of load managing going on, though I don't think it's going to be like a super strict 5 innings thing always. I think it's going to come more in the form of skipping starts here and there. Is he going to be going into the 8th inning a ton? Probably not. It's probably going to be, you know, a really strict 100 to 105 pitch count thing. But I think it's going to be more in the form of skipping starts here and there. And I think they're looking at the absolutely most DeGrom will pitch this season at like 150 innings pitch. And I think they're really happy with anywhere over 120.
My one thing, sort of minor counter, obviously you signed him for 5 years. It's an investment in that sense. 5 years is also just probably what it took to get DeGrom, right? Like you can be the Rangers front office and know that you have to offer him 5 years and a lot of money, even if you really feasibly only want him for 2 years. Not because, we want 5 years because we want to invest in it as long as we can, but because we need to give him 5 years because we need him here. And so that's sort of where I'm like, yeah, I guess I understand the idea of, okay, load manage him in these kinds of seasons, especially if you're either not in playoffs or against opponents that are a lot less important or in games that you're winning. But at the same time, he's not young, you know, could we see DeGrom totally be like a Verlander where he just keeps pitching like this into his 40s? Sure. But that's the exception, not the rule. And I don't think that the Rangers are like, you know, oh, well, gonna load manage him in his current prime because we want to make sure that when he's 40, he's still here and still good. Like, no, you're gonna use him now.
Yeah, yeah, you also don't want to blow them out, especially when we think about how
you're not going to
is going to be getting better.
So. Yeah, sure. You're not going to be like, DeGrom, you're pitching 9 innings today. We don't care what happens. Like, you're not going to throw him through completely unnecessary situations. Like, you're going to pull him from games where he's over that, like, maybe 100-ish pitch count. You're going to pull him from games where your offense is wiping the floor with the other team. You're going to do that. You're going to nickel and dime those innings back, right? But you're going to be like, hey, we're on the last game of a series against the A's and it's a DeGrom start. Maybe sit today. Go against a better opponent. Like, you're going to do those things and you're going to nickel and dime. You're going to get those little innings back here and there. But I don't see it being the kind of thing where they're like, they strictly stop him at 5 innings, or they stop him at the second time through the lineup kind of thing. Like, I think he's just too valuable of a, he's too valuable of an arm in too many situations to get you wins, to get you to the playoffs, which is, I mean, 100% the Rangers' goal at this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously their goal is win a World Series, even like at the ultimate goal, right? That's everyone's goal.
Sure.
But there's a lot of different ways it can go. I mean, we can talk circles around it all day.
Oh, for sure.
We'll clearly see what happens next year.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens next year. And it's also like none of these are like the perfect right solution or wrong solution to this problem. Yeah. Like,
there's positives and negatives of every single option.
For example, the right solution could be that DeGrom is perfectly healthy this year. He pitches 230 innings and they win a World Series. And like, okay, yeah, cool. Then their end goal was absolutely perfect. You know, yeah, just as much
or
as he could
pitch one game.
Exactly. But... or he could pitch a hundred innings to start the year, get injured, and then only show up and just wipe through the playoffs. Like, like those kinds of things can totally happen, and you can theory them all you want, but you know.
The one other thing I wanted to talk about is this is kind of the end of that young New York Mets like trio we saw. So I want to flash back to 2015. When we had a 27-year-old Jacob DeGrom, 22-year-old Noah Syndergaard, and a 26-year-old Matt Harvey, which at the time, the worst ERA between the three of them was a 3.2 by Noah Syndergaard. They were nasty. This was the Mets' rotation of the future. They were going to be there for the next 10 years, and they were going to be dominant. And now we're here 7 years later, and they are all gone.
I mean, you look at even just other...
just wild.
Even just other Mets... aces that have gone through and left. Steven Matz when he was there, Syndergaard when he was there, Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler. Yeah, it's not like the Mets have had any shortage of stellar pitching, and I'm certain they'll get somebody this offseason. They kind of have to.
Well, for sure. It just so. I guess where I was gonna go with it is like, because Zach Wheeler and Matz were the next names I was gonna bring up, is like, do you think in some way the Mets have, because they have this new ownership and they're spending all this money, but they've let a lot of their guys go. Do you think they're headed in the right direction, the wrong direction? Is it neutral? How are you guys feeling about the Mets' future?
I think that the Mets are, I think, still headed positively. I think that we're a little bit past the sort of lull Mets kind of era of like just everything the Mets does is kind of bad and funny and fun to make fun of. I mean we saw them re-sign Edwin Diaz this offseason. Like, they're obviously willing to spend money on their guys, but kind of talking about like what Noah brought up earlier in signing a guy like DeGrom, like, if you're an owner, are you looking for a 36-year-old who wants, you know, just shy of $200 million? Maybe not. And so, yeah, he's good. And yeah, he's your guy for the Mets. But at the same time, you sort of have to separate yourself from that as a franchise owner. Be like, okay, cool. Are we going to keep this guy around for a ridiculous amount of money because he's, you know, our guy for the Mets? Like, he's the Mets guy? Or are we going to let him go and get that money elsewhere and make a better team?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, the Mets now have $40 million a year over the next 5 years available.
Right,
and it'll
exactly.
be interesting to see where they go and spend it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's something where I know there were some, obviously the moment this DeGrom news kind of dropped, like everybody, you immediately start thinking, okay, Carlos Rodon is still available. Verlander is still available. Whoa, hey, okay, now maybe the Mets pick up one of them, and suddenly fill that spot a little.
I think it's good to remember that the Mets signed some guy named Max Scherzer last year to a massive contract. Like, they still have their ace.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
They're not necessarily missing a number one ace. Yeah, you want two aces, ideally, but they're not missing a number one.
Yeah. I mean, and in a lot of ways, they're not really missing that much of a number two either. It's not like the rest of that rotation is a bunch of losers.
No, actually, looking at it right now, with Bassett going as well,
that's
and
true.
Tyler
Bassett
Walker
did go.
Going right now, it's Scherzer, Carrasco, Tyler McGill, David Peterson, and Eliezer Hernandez.
So they definitely need some help.
Yeah, they do need some help.
Carrasco's not bad, and I think McGill definitely has the upside. He's just been in and out of minors.
He had some good starts last year, but they definitely need like a 4-5. They need that veteran presence. But I mean, there's plenty of pitchers out there. They can find someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure of it. Where do we want to go next? We talked about that for a while.
Yeah, we could stay on the mound, or we could go to the big move, the first kind of bigger move that happened after we recorded last week's episode. Where do we want to go?
Either
I
way,
go to trades. Trades are exciting.
So yeah, the big trade that happened right after we recorded, well, not right after, but soon after, Hunter Renfroe going to the Angels from the Brewers. I like this for the Angels. Hunter Renfroe, really solid guy. Another one of those high slug, lower OBP guys, but back-to-back OPS seasons over 800. For me, this is concerning for the Brewers. Brewers, another one of the teams I always like rooting for and watching. We saw last year them kind of cut corners and shed payroll when we thought they were going to be aggressive and go for it in their window when they're underpaying their pitchers. And it seems like this might be another thing of them, you know, shedding some payroll, looking to go a little cheaper. And I don't know, I understand you got to think about keeping those pitchers, but it's like when you have them for that cost, you got to really try and maximize it. And yeah. I'm hoping that they turn around and surprise me and make some bigger move, get someone, but I don't know. Don't love this for the Brewers, but solid for the Angels.
Brewers' direction as a team, like, I don't, you want to say team building philosophy or whatever, it's not really making a lot of sense to me. I mean, Hunter Renfroe, probably one of the more underrated guys in baseball, just because he keeps changing up teams, but he's putting up consistent year after year. I mean, a lot of times you see a guy go from the AL to the NL and struggle because it's new pitchers. But Hunter Renfroe's just been bouncing back from, like, he was on the Rays, the Red Sox, the Padres, the Brewers. Was that, did I get everywhere? Like, and now he's on the Angels. And
you
he's
mentioned
just,
the Rays?
Yeah. He's faced a lot of different pitchers, and he just is consistently putting up solid season after solid season. I like it for the Angels. I mean, the Angels are making a lot of sneaky moves. They went and got Urshela. They went and got Renfroe. They got Anderson. I mean, dude, the Angels, I don't want to say I'm getting excited for the Angels, but I'm getting excited for the Angels.
Oh,
I'm
no.
falling into the trap again. I mean,
after
I got excited for last year.
Look, until
we promise, do it again.
Ryan. Look, until they win, they're losing.
Well, they won for a month last year. They got me excited. It's very interesting what the Angels are doing. The Brewers are very confusing. And I guess we could just kind of roll this into the other move the Brewers made.
Yep.
Where they traded Colton Wong to the Seattle Mariners, and they acquired Jesse Winker and Abraham Toro. And the reason I wanted to bring this one up right away is I guess Jesse Winker, in a way, will roll into that outfield spot left by Hunter Renfroe, and Abraham Toro will probably play a lot of second base where Colton Wong was playing. Kind of interesting trade. I think that trade's actually pretty good for the Brewers. Jesse Winker had a down year, but maybe he can get some juice from Christian Yelich, the lefty-lefty, learn a little bit. He's back in the National League where he played well. I don't know. I actually kind of like that trade for the Brewers. Colton Wong is getting paid a good amount for the player he is.
Deserves it.
I like it for the Mariners too, though. Colton Wong's a good player. And
absolutely.
I think the Mariners definitely got better. They added a lefty bat, which is always good.
Yeah, wait, I
nope. Is Cole Wong lefty? Did I just miss?
He's a lefty. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. He's
no. Yeah, and I think with the new shift rules, having a really good defensive, I almost said midfield, but
athleticism, you know, is huge.
Yeah, shortstops, second base duo as they do in Wong and JP Crawford. I think that's great. I'm hoping that this might signal that they're going to get someone on that outfield free agent market. A little Brandon Nimmo. Hello.
The Brewers?
No, the Mariners.
Mariners.
Okay.
So they have Wong and JP up the middle now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I know there was some talk of having Ty France go back to second base, and he's serviceable there, but especially with these new rules, you want a good defensive second baseman. So I like what they did there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got Teoscar, Julio now, and then as of now, Kelenic's slotted for left field. We'll see if they stick with that or they go somewhere else.
Is Adam Frazier still under contract with the Mariners, or is he a free agent?
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. Okay. I mean, these are interesting trades. I don't understand entirely what the Brewers are doing, because like you said, they had those young pitchers. They came out and said they're not going to trade them. It's like, well, why aren't you going for it then? Brewers organizationally very confusing right now.
Yeah.
Mariners love it.
Brewers, yeah, it's such weird mixed signals. It's like, it almost looks like they want to like sell and rebuild for a year from now or 2 years from now, but then they don't. I don't know.
NL Central just confuses us. The Reds confused us last year.
It's a weird division, man.
Confusing us. The Pirates confusing
us. I don't
us.
Even. Yeah, I don't like that division.
Pirates are just Pirates. Pirates are weird, man.
Worst division in baseball. I said it.
But okay. I mean,
not
they
even
got
from a skill point,
teams.
Just from like, not even from a skill point, just like organizationally right now, I just don't like the NL Central.
Honestly, what's going on with just any of the Centrals, man? They're just kind of
don't hate
whack.
On my guards. We'll get to them.
I mean, I wasn't gonna say I was gonna say the White Sox, but
I mean, yeah, probably the final big slash medium move left to discuss. Mike Clevenger, former top 10 pitcher, at least in the AL, going from San Diego to the Chicago White Sox as a free agent, not via trade.
Yep.
On a 1-year deal.
$12 million.
Like $12 million, solid money for him. I think this just kind of really states how crazy the Syndergaard contract last year was.
It really
was like 1 year, $22 million,
yeah,
for kind of a similar profile, having some really solid years and coming off of injury. But I mean, I like this for the White Sox. It's not like you're signing him to be a one or two or even three. He's going to be like your fourth or fifth guy, and you know, maybe he figures something out. Chicago has had a lot of success with their pitching coaches and helping out Kopech, Cease. Giolito had off year last year, but
even
like
Rodon,
Johnny Cueto,
he was there.
Yeah,
Rodon, Cueto came in and had a great year for them last year. I know some of the fans might not enjoy seeing Cueto probably not returning, but I think this is a really good move. I think Clevenger brings some good vibes to the dugout, which were very much lacking them last year. So yeah, I like this.
I'm a fan of it.
What's the temperature gauge at for the White Sox? So last year we were hot and bothered by the White Sox. This year, how are we feeling?
Let me look at this depth chart.
I'm going to say cautiously optimistic. I don't think I'm nearly as hot on them as I was before, but this will be their first full season not under Tony La Russa in a little bit. And
the vibes, they're going to be bringing the vibes.
So you've got those vibes, and it's not like they've lost that many people.
Well,
and
they've
also
lost a Brave.
They lose a Brave.
That's a big.
No. I'm saying they didn't like A's wholesale it.
Is Eloy Jimenez back from the dead again?
Mm-hmm. He is in fact.
I have to check all the time. I have to check.
Currently alive. Current status alive. Okay. But you know, you still got Tim Anderson. Yeah, you still got Yoan Moncada. Like, this is still a team that's not bad. Like, and as far as pitching is concerned, Lance Lynn is still there, and Dylan Cease was really, really good as well last season. So now you add Clevenger, who, you know, sort of a toss up. You know, could come in and be really, really good, could also come in and be a fringe starter almost. But it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm not ready to like call the division for them or even call a playoff appearance for them at this point. But yeah. I'm also not suddenly super down.
I think they're a big move away from me saying they're a division winner. They feel like a solid second place team to me right now.
That's
how I'm feeling, Noah.
Yeah, well, I think just when we were starting to talk about that, we didn't talk about the Jose Abreu impact on the White Sox. I mean,
yeah,
had true. A really rough year last year. The White Sox did, not Abreu. And then you obviously switch managers, but then you lose the like stalwart of your franchise over the last, you know, however many years, constant presence that everyone loved in the clubhouse, and now he's gone. So we'll see what happens. I think talent wise, if I'm just looking at it talent wise and trying to think logically, I would say they are the favorites for the Central. But I think just the cohesion, the Terry Francona effect, and just the vibes, I still, maybe if I were, you were to tell me to bet on someone, I might pick the Guardians. But I mean, I think logically the White Sox should be the favorite, depending on what obviously the Guardians and Twins do.
Yeah.
But I think they should be the favorite, but we'll obviously, yeah,
I guess
last year, we'll see how that ends up.
I guess standings wise, I'm higher on the White Sox just because I'm a lot lower on the Twins.
Yeah, that makes sense. Luis, I think for the White Sox with Abreu leaving, Luis Robert is the name that's like, we really got to look at to take a big step up.
Oh yeah. Oh, and of course the literal replacement, Andrew Vaughn as well.
Yeah, no, yep. For sure.
But another move on the more medium side, but the one that I really like as well, Kyle Gibson going to Baltimore after somewhat mediocre career, has put a few really solid seasons together in Texas and Philadelphia, and I think that's a good move for the Orioles. Right, you're got some young talent, you want to start to be a little bit more competitive, and oh my god, I didn't realize Kyle Gibson had a 505.
Yeah,
it's a good move though. He could put it together. He gives a veteran presence. I mean, the Orioles are a younger team. It gives just someone older in the clubhouse. They need that. And like, yeah, he had a rough season last year, but he was coming off a really good 2021. And I mean, who knows? Maybe he finds it. Like, he was with Texas. Texas dominated, went to the National League, struggled. Maybe going back to the American League, he'll be better again. Who knows?
Yeah. You know who the Orioles got coming off the bench? A little bit of Anthony Boom Boom.
Oh. Sorry. Didn't want to say, one of the things with Kyle Gibson this last season as well, he was very much a boom or bust pitcher. It's part of why his ERA is so high.
Yeah,
he had a lot of appearances where he was like through a scoreless seven, through a scoreless, five or six innings, and then he has other innings where, his game ERA is like a 17 or 20. Like,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I saw that 505, I was like, I feel like I remember hearing a lot of game recaps where Kyle Gibson pitched well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking through his game log right now and I'm seeing a lot of like seven innings, no runs. But then you get some other ones where it's like, let's see, what was this one? One and two thirds, and seven runs. Yeah, that's.
I just went through and counted, and it looked like there was seven times he gave up five earned runs or more.
Yeah, he.
So,
if he got blown up, he got blown up. But he did also put together a lot of really good starts. And if you're the Orioles, you're just hoping that you get more of the latter, less of the former.
Oh, actually, nine times he gave up five runs or more. So he got beat up a lot. And then when he was pitching well, he was pitching well. So
yep,
that is interesting to see if he could put together a complete season.
Yep. Very boom or bust. But we'll see.
Yeah. Another signing that I just honestly have forgotten to mention till now. Been all in the World Cup. My own Red Sox signing Chris Martin, the singer from Coldplay, to a 2-year, $17.5 million dollar deal. Shout out to my friend and colleague Alyssa, fellow teacher, loves Coldplay, mentions them at least once a week. This one's for you. I told the Red Sox to do this.
How are you feeling about this signing?
I mean, I don't know. I want to see other stuff happen, obviously, but I don't think it's bad, but it's like, I don't know. I was joking with Adam before the podcast. Last year, the Red Sox signed, 40-something-year-old Rich Hill, so they decided to go with a younger approach this year. They signed, how old is Chris Martin? 37? 37-year-old Chris Martin.
Progress, dude.
Been like really solid over the last 3-4 years, but I don't know. I didn't expect that much money for Chris Martin.
Yeah, dude. So, like, he's been solid, but they're paying him like he's going to be the pitcher he was for the last 24 innings with the Dodgers. His last 24 innings with the Dodgers, he had a 1.4 ERA. He was dominant, but that's a ton of money to give a 37-year-old reliever based on his last 24 innings pitched.
Yeah.
Because the first half of the year, he had a 4.3 and 30 with the Cubs. Like,
Don't worry about that.
Don't look deep into it, man.
It's just a lot of money.
Too much into the numbers.
Yeah, just stop.
It's concerning. I mean, hopefully it works out. I'm kind of curious of what the Red Sox thought process are right now. Like, what are they thinking? What are they looking at in the division? I guess they're kind of waiting to see if the Yankees land Judge or not. That probably will change their. I don't know if that would change their position.
Nah.
What's up? Oh, nah. Pretty sure it's pretty much down to two teams now for Judge.
Let's see.
Definitely seems like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to say on the pod, this is the first week where Las Vegas changed the betting odds of who's likely to land Judge to a non-Yankees team, and they changed it to being the Giants. I have some concerns, I must say, because a report came out today. Like, it's kind of been talking 8 years the whole time for a 32-year-old Judge, so taking him through his age 40 year, and I was like, okay. And now it's come out today that, like, whoever offers a 9-year deal is likely to get him. And it's just like, man, dude, I don't know how I feel about paying Judge until he's 41.
If anybody's got that old...
I'm a Rangers fan.
I was going to say, hey, look, if any team's going to have that old man magic, it's the Giants.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's just like, dude, it's going to be a huge contract. Like, I'm not going to be upset if the Giants get him, obviously. Like, I'll be pumped, and I'll probably not be worried about it at all once he signs, if he signs. And I mean, you give him a 9-year deal expecting him to be good for 5 or 6.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what all those type of deals are.
We'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
Well, any other hot stove talk?
We gotta
talk about how the stove's gonna get turned up next week because we have the winter meetings for the first time since before COVID where they're actually meeting in person.
Yeah.
And like all the reports is that it's gonna get splashy out there.
I don't doubt it.
Very, very splashy.
As Ken Rosenthal might
Oh my god.
Just Google Ken Rosenthal. There's no other way to put it. I won't say exactly what he said on here, but I just think there are several other ways.
There are innumerable other ways to put it, Ken. Okay, please.
Don't get me wrong. I respect what he said, but prefacing that with there's no other way to put it
just incorrect.
I love this like modern day of Ken Rosenthal and like baseball media. Like the Athletic's been so good for sports because like these writers can just like kind of say whatever. Like they're not like they don't necessarily have to say the most professional thing all the time.
I mean, Carrabas leads a lot of that too, right? Like one of the most at the moment like prolific, absolute like moment to moment baseball reporters. And he says absolutely anything he wants.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
John Boy in there.
Nothing wrong with what Rosenthal said.
No,
very good
not
description.
At all.
Funny, but just saying that there's no other way to put it is so funny.
It's hilarious.
Caught you a little off guard.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But so it's the first time teams are all going to be at the same place. We're having the winter meetings. They're expecting a lot of signings, a lot of trades. I mean, we're talking names like Sean Murphy of the A's is likely to be traded by the end of the week.
A little Shane Bieber.
Yeah, and numerous of other names.
Tragic for Brian.
Well, yeah, I would be pumped.
Would be
if
tragic.
The Guards get Sean Murphy. Honestly, I don't know. Like, obviously, losing Shane Bieber would hurt the Guards, but like, I don't know if it'd be that tragic, honestly, because the Guards just continuously come up with starting pitching.
Yeah, this is true.
It's true.
So I'm excited for next week. I'm ready for the winter meetings. It's probably like, dude, as a kid, it'd be my favorite time of the year to like school gets out, come home, watch the winter meetings on MLB Network. It was like my favorite week of the year. Dude, I loved it.
Wow. So, I've never heard that
for winter meetings to be back.
I love really? That. Never heard. Yeah, I never saw. I would just ever. You've been a baseball sicko for a while.
Dude, yeah. Dude, I'd come home from school and I'd like turn MLB Network on and just watch it and like listen to everything that happened that day.
That's crazy.
The hot stove. Love the winter meetings.
Oh yeah.
Well, if there's no other big free agency stuff to talk about, and there might be one more. Did we say Julio Teheran? Signing with the Padres?
That's not important.
It's not that big.
It's a minor league deal. It's
interesting. Aristides Aquino is officially going to the Japan League. Which yeah, I just found interesting because, like, it wasn't that long ago that Aquino was, like, a really, like, high potential upstart. lots of potential. But, yeah, hopefully he rakes in Japan.
But, Shelby Miller went to the Dodgers on a minor league contract, too. He had
great
some
name.
Solid, yeah, solid he had some solid bullpen games with the Giants last year. And, I mean, at one time he was a high-profile name. So we'll see what happens there. Actually, yeah. It was a major league contract because the Giants only offered him a minor league, and that's why he left.
Well, but if that is all the free agency stuff, Brian, I do want to put your baseball knowledge to the test. And you too, Noah. I've got a whole bunch of trivia.
Can't wait to do horribly.
We have not done trivia in a cool minute. Hope you guys are ready. So this is all 2022 trivia. I don't have anything.
Uh-oh.
We talked a lot about that season, huh?
Yeah. Kind of crazy that we did that one, right? Yeah. All 2022, nothing else. So no weird historical things. But we'll start off kind of easy-ish, and then we'll get harder. So let's start off with some batting stat leaders. We know the home run leader, boring. Who cares? But do you guys know who the average leader, OPS leader, walks leader, and strikeout leaders were?
Just,
for 2022 batting. Let's
entire
start
entire baseball league?
Whole league. I'm not doing NLAL. This is all of the MLB.
Well, the OPS
is Judge.
Yeah.
Are we a team, Brian?
I mean,
do you guys want to be a team?
All in this together like it's high school.
All right, yeah, sure. Be a team.
USA baby.
Okay, so we're looking for average. What else did you say?
Average OPS walks and strikeouts.
Okay. Average. Who had a good average in the NL? Because I think it was Luis Arraez in the AL.
Okay, in the NL, I'm thinking a couple names. Freddie Freeman had a really good average.
That he did.
Paul Goldschmidt had a really good average.
You know, I think this year Jeff McNeil had a high average.
You know what? I was just about to say that. I think he might have been it.
I think it was him. And I remember a story of him being like, you know what? I did too many analytics, so I'm still studying a bit, but I'm just going up there with Thiel. And then I think he went out there and slayed.
Weirdly enough, I'm pretty sure I know who the strikeouts one is.
Going Jeff.
I just read it in an article.
Going Jeff McNeil?
Yeah.
By 1 point over Freddie Freeman, it was Jeff McNeil.
Oh.
326 to Freeman's 325.
I actually know the strikeouts one. I was like reading some article today. It is Kyle Schwarber with
that it is.
200,
a,
I believe.
A clean 200. It was a clean 200.
I read an article about it today.
What about walks?
I have no clue. I have zero clue on this one.
These are the easy ones.
Maybe Aaron Judge. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Judge. People were scared to pitch to him.
Juan Soto.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an off year. You forget that he's still led.
Still, even when Soto has an off year, like hitting, he doesn't have an off year with discipline.
Dude, so we just went 3 for 4, Noah.
That's really good.
Oh, Juan Soto.
Look at us. Well, We did. That's good for batting, but we also we're a pitching kind of podcast. Let's be honest. Yeah. Who are your 2022 pitching stat leaders for ERA, strikeouts, saves, and batting average against?
You didn't throw innings pitched in there, huh?
No, I did not. These are easy, but they aren't that easy.
So what was it again? ERA.
ERA. We can go one by one. ERA.
Oh, oh no, man, I don't know.
ERA, oh, I have
Cease. No, maybe. Or no, Verlander.
Like,
Verlander.
It's like a certain amount of innings pitched, right?
This is,
yeah, I think Verlander.
Yeah, this is qualifying. Verlander.
I believe it's Verlander.
Verlander.
It was.
Oh, man,
it was Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give that one. Who led the league in strikeouts?
Strikeouts. Who pitched a lot? I mean, Sandy, but I think someone had more strikeouts than Sandy.
Corbin.
Patrick Corbin.
No, Corbin Burns. Or Rodon. Rodon had a lot of strikeouts.
I don't know if it was.
No, Corbin Burns was ahead of Rodon. I know Burns was ahead of Rodon.
Oh, I didn't pay much attention to Burns this season.
Because I know Rodon was chasing him, and I know at the end of the year Burns passed him up, but I don't know if anyone. Do you think anyone in the American League had more than Burns?
Maybe Cease.
Do you feeling Burns or Cease? Who are you feeling?
You seem to for sure know that Cease was up there.
And, well, I mean sure Burns. Know, sorry, yeah. Burns, I know Burns was above Rodon, and I know Rodon was at least in the top 10.
We'll go Burns.
Okay,
Burns. You guys are all top five for the people that you named, but number one is Gerrit Cole.
Schmackarooski. I mean, that makes sense. Pitched a lot.
He did pitch a lot. Burns? He pitched
was
less
Burns
than
second.
Burns is second. Rodon is third, and then Aaron Nola, and then Dylan Cease. Yeah, Burns actually pitched one and a third inning more than Cole. Not that much more, but had like 15 less strikeouts. But
I knew the only reason I knew the Burns thing is because Rodon was like chasing the National League in strikeouts, and I know him and Burns kept trading spots, and Burns overtook him at the end.
Yeah.
Well, you say inning and third isn't a lot. That's the whole playoff start against the Red Sox.
Who led the league in saves?
Oh my god. Was it Diaz? Or no. Was it
who
I don't know.
Was there some Mark Melanson was last year, right?
I definitely don't think it was.
It was not him. I'm comfortable giving that one. It was not him.
I think last year he did lead the league in saves, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but he's on the Diamondbacks now.
Yeah, he's on a bad team though.
I mean, I guess Diaz, right?
I feel like I know Kinley Jansen had a good amount out in Atlanta.
I can't think of another.
Class A on the guards. He had a lot. Jansen, Class A, Diaz. Those are maybe Presley in Houston.
I don't like him.
I think I'm kind of leaning towards Diaz. It's between Diaz, Jansen, and Class A in my mind.
I think Diaz.
I agree.
Diaz? You guys have forgotten that Diaz did a lot of eighth inning pitching. He did not always pitch in the ninth. Diaz is top 10, but he's eighth. He is 10 saves behind the leader, Emmanuel Class A.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Kenley Jansen had 41. Class A had 42.
Oh, wow.
That's the top 10.
I was saying. Sorry, let me scroll down. 18. He was top 20. Oh no, he wasn't. 21. Anyway, batting average against.
Oh shoot!
This is a tough one.
Oh, Cease.
Dude, that's I think it's number. A reliever. Are you talking about starters or relievers? It has to be
anybody.
A reliever over a starter.
Well, qualifying, so it has to be a starter, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Cease because I remember hearing about that a lot.
Okay, I have no clue, so I'm going with you.
Oh, man, and it's such a shame because there was two right answers, and that's not one of them.
No.
Your two best that were tied, well, tied by the three decimals that average typically gives you, I think there is an actual leader. Justin Verlander and Zach Gallen.
Oh, Zach Gallen. That's actually
Yeah.
I did not expect to hear Zach Gallen's name.
Gallen was really good.
Yeah, he dominated. He dominated the Giants when they played.
Yeah, you guys were, you guys came out the gate real hot and then kind of sucked for pitching. Well, let's give you, let me give you a toss up. What are the two teams that were top and bottom in the year for run differential?
Oh.
Top and bottom.
Top of the Dodgers.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Who's the bottom?
Bottom. Is it the, what do you think? A Nationals or a team? I don't think it's the Pirates. I think it's maybe Nationals or.
I'm trying to think who is really bad.
That's okay. Bad teams. Reds, but I think they scored too many runs.
So Washington, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Colorado, Kansas City.
Colorado, no.
Detroit?
Kansas City, it might be. I don't
Cincinnati?
Think I think Cincinnati scored too much.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to push you guys to answer a little quicker on the easier ones because I want you to deliberate longer for the harder ones.
I think it's Washington or Pittsburgh.
I think it's Kansas City or Washington.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to give it to
Washington.
I'm gonna,
let's go Washington.
Yeah.
It is Washington. It's the Nationals. Dodgers finished plus 334, Nationals minus 252.
Wow.
Nobody in the league this year got 200 hits, but there were two guys that got pretty close. Who are they?
Freddie Jeff Freeman. McNeil's one? Yeah. And Jeff Freddie Freeman?
Yeah.
Or is it Goldschmidt and Freddie?
I can give you another hint, but this will give it to you if I give you this hint.
Okay, wait. Freddie Freeman's one, I think.
I think so, too.
Okay.
I'm down to go Goldschmidt and Freeman.
Luis Arraez, maybe?
Or maybe Judge?
I'm just going to stop you both now. I will give you the point for Freeman, but you did not bring up Trey Turner.
Oh.
Freeman had Freeman with 199, Turner with 194.
It's crazy because he had a big OPS
also,
dip this year.
Also super weird and super funny. They both finished with 21 home runs and 100 RBI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah just kind of interesting.
That's
so
adorable.
Yeah. It's just it's kind of funny. StatCast has a fun pitcher stat called No Doubters, which is home runs given up that would have been gone in all 30 ballparks. And there is a clear leader in this stat, like way ahead of everybody. Do you guys know who it is?
Who hit the most?
No, who gave up the most. Pitcher.
Oh. So this is give us a division?
AL East.
Yeah, dude, dang it. I was going to say U East.
No.
I feel like it might be someone. It might be Garrett Cole.
I'm just going to innings. You know? I'm literally, I'm just going to give it to you for bringing him up. It is Garrett Cole.
You know why I said ahead. Garrett Cole? You want to know why I said it? It just like, as soon as you said no doubters, it has to be out of every park. I was just thinking the smallest parks, the Yankees, and people just, I don't know why I thought smallest park when you said no doubters.
Yeah, but that's kind of the, it's kind of the so opposite. Wild. But no, it's.
Yeah, my thought process makes no sense.
It's the exact opposite. But no, 18 of his 36 home runs given, StatCast says are gone in all 30 parks.
Wow.
Absolutely crushed.
You got to pitch a lot of innings to give up a lot of home runs.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
And
I feel like Garrett Cole's a guy, when he gives them up, they're gone. Like, he doesn't give a lot of, like, wall scraper home runs up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's what no doubters are. All right.
Well, yeah.
Let's get to some maybe slightly harder ones. But again, maybe don't deliberate too long on some of these. I do want to get to all of these. Who were, in the postseason, the three OPS leaders?
Oh.
Bryce Harper. Manny Jordan Machado. Hitless? No, he went hitless for a long period of time.
Oh, okay.
Manny Machado, like... Bryce Harper.
Pena?
Jeremy Pena, yeah.
Oh, 0 for 3.
What? Really?
You guys got to think small sample size.
Oh,
Matt Olson. Wild. Matt Olson was number 1. Teoscar Hernandez, number 2. And Travis d'Arnaud, number 3.
I haven't given us points on that.
Right? Nope, that. You don't I get any that. Points Ooh. On that at all.
You got to play more games. Ooh, those guys all played like what, 4 games max?
Exactly. I mean, Teoscar played that's 2.
That's horrible.
Teoscar got doesn't... swept.
He got swept, but he was like the only thing that kept the Jays close.
Ooh, that question.
Oh man. All right. Well, fine. I'll here's one that has even more options. Okay. So, per StatCast, Judge does not, even with the season that he have, crack the top 10 of qualified players by average home run distance. He averaged 412. Can you name some of the top 10?
Give me CJ Cron.
Dude, I got a banger of a name I just thought of.
Okay. And
I'm here for it. Cruz.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Get some low liners.
Yeah, this is distance. This is distance. Not O'Neal Cruz.
Tanks.
But I will give you CJ Cron.
Whose home runs are majestic? Your Don?
Do all these guys play in Colorado by chance?
No.
Okay.
Let's see.
I'll give you a handful more
Matt
guesses.
Carpenter.
No.
I don't know, bro.
Matt Chapman.
I'm trying to throw out names. I'm trying to throw out names of guys who didn't hit too many home runs. Because I think if you hit a lot, it like hard because you'll get some wall scrapers.
Maybe. Man, you got
Christian Yelich.
No, not Devers, but yes, Christian Yelich.
Oh, whoa. Bellinger. we went for the MVPs.
Jorge Soler.
Jesse Winker.
No Jesse Winker.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay. Acuna is actually the number one. Ryan McMahon, Brendan Rodgers, Bobby Witt Jr., Christian Walker, Marcelo Zuna, Carson Kelly, and Jesus Sanchez. That rounds out the top 10.
See, I knew it was going to be all guys who didn't hit a lot.
Yeah, I know. They didn't hit that many. So, as I like to do, back to pitching, fastballs obviously top the charts as the most thrown pitch. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, for least thrown pitches, how many knuckleballs did pitchers throw this year?
What? I can't think of a straight knuckleball thrower anymore. I'm going to say it's like 50.
I'm going to go 80.
Ooh, the key here was pitchers, none. I could not find a single pitcher who threw a knuckleball.
There were some position players that did it.
There were position players who did it. No pitchers.
Horrible.
No pitchers. There were none. None. No knuckleballs.
Nobody does it.
Yeah, I knew there wasn't knuckleballer, but I was thinking with all the positions. Yeah,
okay.
Might have been 80. All
right. No, that's fair. It is kind of a specific question.
Set us up for failure.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll give you. Okay. All right. Well, not including position players. Okay, fine. We're talking about fastballs. most pitchers obviously rely on their fastball to get work done and set up a lot of their other pitches. But of the qualified pitchers, there are five pitchers of qualified pitchers that threw 1,000+ pitches of a non-fastball variant. Who are they? Only five.
Colors pitch enough?
Think of pitchers whose
Alex Wood?
No.
Dang.
Not up there.
He throws a lot of sliders.
Does throw a lot of sliders. Yeah, he mixes up stuff. And I'm trying to think. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of guys. So like, I'm assuming cutters and two seamers are
cutters, two seamers, sinkers, four seams. Those are all fastball variants.
Okay.
Splitters, all those. Those are all fastball variants. Yeah.
Luis Castillo.
No.
This is interesting. He throws a lot of fastballs though.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of people whose changeup. Are like curveball or slider.
Yeah. I will give you a hint.
There's one guy I'm thinking of. Yeah. Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton.
He throws a lot of curves.
He does throw a lot of curves. He threw 1,100 of the dang things.
Yeah.
I was thinking Charlie Morton too. Wainwright?
No, he's fastballs.
Know how I do Charlie Morton from playing the show. That's his primary pitch is a curve.
Is a curve.
Oh, I gotta tap into that now.
So I will give you a hint. Of the four remaining, three of them are people who throw sliders as their main pitch.
Yeah.
And one of them is a changeup.
Oh,
man.
Who throws that many Giolito.
No, Giolito.
Oh.
And two of them are the number one and number two run value pitches in all of baseball from 2022.
Yeah, there's a reason they throw them a lot.
There is a reason they throw them a lot. One of them, I don't think I would have expected, but one of them makes a ton of sense.
No, that's a curveball, not a slider.
No.
This might be. Is any of these guys on the Giants?
No.
Okay.
I
what I was thinking.
I don't think you guys are going to get these.
You want to give us some hints? Some teams?
Sure. We have brought up one of these players a few times already, And another one of these players is one of my personal favorite players.
Alek Manoa.
Not Alek Manoa.
Ryu.
Don't think Jays. Don't think Jays. Oh, okay. Don't think Jays. We brought up one of these dudes a lot. Not Kyle Gibson. Brought up one of these dudes as a really good pitcher. Super dominant pitcher. No. He had the number one run value pitch in all of baseball last year.
Is it really good? Corbin Burns?
No.
Number one run value pitch in all of baseball.
Dude, I don't know.
Oh, man. I'm just going to... A Dylan Cease slider.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan Cease throws the number one best slider in all of baseball. Pablo Lopez changeups is another one. He throws a ton of changeups. Tons of changeups. Robbie Ray's slider is way up there, although way down on run value pitch, but he does rely on it a lot. And Shohei. Shohei throws a lot of sliders. He throws a ton of sliders.
Huh. I would have thought Shohei threw more splitters.
Interesting. Yeah, I just think with like Cease and Shohei, you also think of that electric fastball too.
You think of other pitches, but they also just throw a stupid amount of other stuff.
Splitter is considered a fastball variant?
I did consider them a fastball variant.
Oh, okay. Because otherwise Gosman would have been.
Gosman would have been way up there. I'm basically considering anything that's like an off-speed pitch, and like splitters are still thrown upper 90s, most or not upper 90s, but into the 90s.
Gosman's is definitely off-speed, but yes, I agree.
Either way, let's go with not really teams, but maybe ballparks. Coors Field, obviously Hitters Park, get all that elevation, that thin air, balls go really far. But it was not home to the most home runs this year. You name any of the top five?
Yankee Stadium.
Indeed.
Philly.
Indeed. Citizens Bank, home of the Minute Phillies. Maid. Not Minute Maid.
Minute Maid. Oh, that was a good one.
Minute Maid, but that is a good guess.
Thank you. Oh,
Baltimore?
What is it?
I don't like that, actually.
No, you don't have to name the actual park. You can name the teams.
I know, but I want to challenge it. What's Cincinnati? Is it like Great American Ballpark?
It is Great American, and it was number one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many do we have? So,
Toronto.
Toronto, indeed. Yeah, Toronto.
Pittsburgh?
No.
Milwaukee?
It was Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A good one. And, you know, of course, speaking of teams, there were two teams that, as far as I can tell, failed to record a Grand Slam this year. You guys know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, failed to record one. So just think bad teams.
Well, I don't know.
I think the Giants only had one.
Red Sox made the playoffs one year without getting a Grand Slam. I remember
It is absolutely possible.
I could be wrong in this, but I don't think the Giants hit a Grand Slam during their crazy win year in 2021.
God, I didn't check that year.
Because they hit one this year. Royals.
No, the Royals did hit one.
Nationals?
Nationals did not.
Tigers.
Tigers did.
Red Sox.
Red Sox did.
Wait, did Mariner. You say Pirates?
Pirates did.
You know what would be crazy? Rockies. A's?
It is the Rockies.
Oh, wow.
They did not record a Grand Slam, at least not that I could find.
The Giants only hit one, and it was a walk-off off Josh Hader by Mike Yastrzemski.
Yeah. So, all right. Now we're getting to maybe much harder stats, and these are ones that I don't expect you guys to get. Just throw out random guesses, because these are kind of funny. I was just looking into sprint speed, because sprint speed's a fun stat. And I wanted a question for it, but I didn't want to like just do like who's the fastest or who's the slowest. But I did find an interesting thing, which is obviously most of the top sprint speed guys are pretty young. The entire top five is under 30 years old. But just outside of the top 10 at number 11 is a 31 year old. Who's our fast 31 year old? This one you won't get. No shot.
Who's old and fast?
Starling Marte.
It's not Starling Marte.
You said the person's in their 30s?
31.
31.
Is Mike Trout 31?
No. No, but I also don't think he's 11th. I think he's a little further down. I'll give you a team. He's on the Rockies.
that doesn't help.
I know it doesn't.
You, Charlie Blackman.
This one you weren't going to get. No, it's Winton Bernard.
I've never heard of that guy in my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
now,
I did see it. He debuted this year, right?
I think so, yeah. Now, this one you guys could get. Most of the guys at the bottom of the sprint speed leaderboard are old dudes. They're all of the bottom 10 are over 30. But number 11 is 29. Who's the young, slow dude?
Arenado.
It is not Arenado. Not 30. Slow.
Vogelbach.
It is Daniel Vogelbach.
Okay. The other name I was going to say is Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, Tellez is pretty far down there, too. Yeah, there's, let's see. I do have another sprint speed. I have another couple of sprint speed ones that are a little bit hard, but I don't think, I think for time, I'm just not going to bother. But here's another fun one. There were only two hitters this year that homered off of both the 2022 Cy Young winners.
Who? Oh, so Sandy and Verlander.
Yeah.
Homered off of both of them.
Both Cy Young winners. And I can give you a couple hints here.
Bryce Harper.
It's not Bryce Harper.
Dang. I'm thinking they're in one of the two divisions. That's kind of my thought process.
Mm-hmm. You would be right.
I would agree.
I can give you a kind of crazy hint.
Pete Alonso.
Not Pete Alonso. Both of these players are on the same team.
Okay.
So we just got to get one of them first.
Just got to get one of them.
Okay.
NL East.
I know.
Not Mets.
Okay, let's do AL. Let's do AL. Julio Rodriguez.
Yes.
Julio Rodriguez and Ty France.
Not Ty France.
No way, Winker.
Nope.
JP Crawford.
It was JP Crawford.
Oh my.
Julio Rodriguez and JP Crawford. Hey, only that's two.
Pretty wild as a rookie.
That's a crazy stat. But I'm making a new, I'm not a new stat, but a new award. This is maybe my favorite dumb piece of trivia that I'm ever going to have. This will be the last one. I have a new award. I'm calling it the Garfield Award. I'm giving it out one to a pitcher, one to a hitter for people who just hate Mondays. The pitcher, out of 17 appearances in 2022, only had a single appearance on a Monday. He came into a game tied in the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded and threw a four pitch walk to send home the winning run. Who was it?
Oh,
we've talked about him because we talked about this happening.
It's not Brad Hand, is it?
No, it's not Brad Hand.
We talked about him today? Or
No. We talked about it when it happened because it was funny. Oh.
Yeah, I don't
know. I don't think you guys have a shot at this one. But you guys just want it. It's JoJo Romero.
I do not remember that.
I know. It's super obscure, but it was just like, I was looking for it because, well, he was not the first person that I found. I actually found the batter first. But I found this one. I was like, wow, his only appearance on a Monday, he just came in through the minimal amount of pitches to just leave. Just didn't want to be there.
Pretty wild.
But your hitter played 15 games on Mondays. He totaled 60 plate appearances and had a 107 average and a league worst on Mondays OPS of a 292. Who just sucked on Mondays?
Can you give us
is it like a notable player?
Flash line?
It is a notable name. I can absolutely tell you that.
Can you give us the end of the year slash line? That'll be interesting.
I didn't have it written down. Let me find it if you guys want to talk for just a second.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe a little bit of Andrew McCutchen.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Are you kidding me? That is an unreal name pull, and that is absolutely correct.
I tuned into the Brewers.
Are you kidding me? That was phenomenal.
Holy. That is Andrew McCutchen, 60 plate appearances. He was absolutely abysmal on Mondays.
thought it was wild.
It wasn't too much.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great on other days, but the discrepancy is still pretty bad, and it's just it was just funny how bad it was on Mondays. But yeah, he's my Garfield Award winner.
That is absolutely hilarious, though, of all people.
That's absurd. I want to say, too, just in case people don't know, neither Brian or Noah have access to the doc that has these trivia questions. These are completely separate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, we're coming up on almost 2 years now of just talking about baseball every day.
No, it's like, true.
Stuff just,
it's true.
And that doesn't even include the baseball we consume outside.
Yeah.
Just,
oh,
I don't know.
Dang, I did skip one of my other funny funny trivia stats. We'll do one more. We were talking a little bit about exit velo and average home run velocity, but there's one man who takes the cake for the lowest max exit velo in the MLB.
Lowest
max exit velo.
Oh, I don't know if they count bunts for this.
They don't count bunts. In his 2022 campaign, he put exactly one ball in play. It was a foul ball pop-up off of an Andrew Wandt slider, and it left the bat at 54.3 miles an hour. Who did it?
Wait, that's the only ball he put in play all year?
All year.
What?
And
no.
Only ball he put in play all year, and I can give you a hint. You want the hint?
Yeah. Is it a name we'll know?
Maybe. Potential new Oakland legend?
Oh, no.
New Oakland legend?
New Oakland legend.
Wait, so here, let me look at the free agent tracker.
No. New Oakland legend, he's on Oakland. He's not like potentially going on to Oakland.
I have no clue.
I don't expect you to. it's Nate Mondu.
I don't know who Nate
he got. No clue. He got called up. He got called up and then did that and then left.
That's another name I've never heard.
Yeah. But I mean, left his mark, baby. Huh? Lowest max exit velo. Yeah.
All righty.
Oh, man.
Well, you guys have anything else for this week?
No.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you know, I was like, yes, like I got more.
Good way to end
with
it.
With that, we'll maybe see you guys next week. Maybe not. Depends how hot the stove gets.
True.
But we'll figure it out. If there's nothing next week, we will be coming at you in 2 weeks. Other than that, we'll see you guys later. We'll be right back.